It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as a returning guest, Doug Warner. And Doug, I haven't seen you in months
it's
now.
It's been months, yes.
Yeah, it
yes.
has been a long time. Part of the COVID ID and, COVID-19, and part of it, just our lives have gone in different directions for a little bit.
Yep.
So I wanted to share with everyone that Doug is a yoga and meditation teacher, as well as a certified labyrinth facilitator. And I did do a labyrinth walk with you way back in December, and it was such fun. He's also a Florida licensed massage therapist, and you can find Doug at Warner Healing Guidance, which is in Largo, Florida. Also through warnerhealingguidance.com.
Right.
And you said that that has a managed email list there.
Right.
So people can sign up and get communication with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Again, on my email list, they get access to some my videos and things like that.
Okay. So that's fun because I've looked at some of your videos too.
Our
topic today is going to be, what do I do now navigating the new normal? And so obviously we're going to be talking about COVID ID. Before we get started, I also want to make sure that people, when they go to synergyconnectionradio.com, there is a link there into Boomer products, and you can sign up for a free mailing list, and you can go and explore their amazing nutritional line. I do use almost everything that they have, and I attribute that to my being able to stay healthy and have an enhanced immune system during this craziness of COVID-19. The last I heard, and I think you said you heard it too, that we're looking at about 2 years.
Oh, that seems to be the wisdom now. So
this is not going to go away. No. And I don't want people to think for one second that just because they come up with a vaccine, that that's the answer. Because right now, they don't know what this vaccine is going to do. A vaccination might help. But the best thing you can do for yourself is a lot of what we're talking about today, and that's nutrition and exercise and sleep and ways to manage stress and anxiety. So we're going to talk about all of that, but please check out the Boomer website if you do decide that you want something from them. If you use my first name, which is L-U-C-Y, if you use that in the promo code, you're going to get $5 off. And, you know, every bit helps today. So, you know, the $5 will make a little bit of a difference in your total purchase. All right. So here we go. What do I do now?
That seems to be the big question. I, you know, working with folks in my practice, that seems to be the general question. Everything seems upside down. Not just COVID-19 and all the implications socially, economically for most of us, and health-wise, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with loss of various kinds, dealing with grief. And then you compound that with the larger scenario we're in. I mean, we're still very much needing to talk about global warming, climate change.
Right.
And so those predictions. So we have this, everything seems to be in flux.
And the politics.
And politics, I mean, and this is not going to be any politically generated kind of conversation,
right.
But politics are in flux as well. So what this does is it does leave us, a lot of the things that we were counting on are shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Or they seem, we've lost control. I thought my life was going a certain way, and then all of a sudden, everything's pulled out from under me, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, jobs are fragile.
Oh, yeah.
Economics are very fragile. The health of loved ones, if they're senior citizens, mothers, dads, grandparents, that's fragile. I mean, there's hardly any place that you look unless you just walk out into nature. And nature seems to be saying, I'm here. I'm solid. I'm not going anywhere. And so that's one of the things we can do is to get out into nature.
And that's actually one of the things I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
It's one of the things. So when I'm thinking about this and I'm trying to address these questions, because as a meditation teacher and a yoga teacher and even as a body worker and healer, people are asking that in so many words. I don't know what to do. I'm lost in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do a workshop a little while ago, and I kind of put that together. And so I'm going to kind of share some of the ideas that we came up with in that workshop. Mm-hmm. The word resilience or resiliency seemed to be a linchpin word here. Mm-hmm. It's like, and how do we build our resilience to this, to deal with this change? Mm-hmm. And so resilience, and I looked it up, just looked up in the dictionary, and I believe it came, there's two words that came to mind. So resilience is, this is the definition I'm working with, is the ability to adapt and respond positively and effectively. I'll throw that in, effectively. Not just with a positive mind frame, but effectively, potently, to stress and misfortune and change. Mm-hmm. So kind of broke this idea down. We were asking what to do. How do I navigate this new normal? And by the way, we don't know what the new normal is going to be.
It's
evolving day by day.
Day by day.
How do I do that? How do I ride that wave?
Exactly. I mean, you and I talked before the show even started about the fact that we opened Florida.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about closing parts of it again. And some of it they've already closed. And they're trying to figure out what to do as school is looming in the not too distant future.
Yep.
So the new normal, no.
It's good. and it'll change again, and it'll keep changing.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke this down, this response. How do we adapt and respond? That's really the two categories. Mm-hmm. How do I adapt and I respond? And I'll just predicate this with, we know just from Earth history, we look at different life forms, the ability to adapt to change mm-hmm. equals survivability.
Right. All you have to do is look at evolution.
Evolution. Look at with plants, animals, humans. If you didn't adapt, you didn't make it.
Right. Okay. Dinosaurs aren't here.
And the dinosaurs didn't make it. It's probably because some of them had really short arms and they couldn't wash their hands. I don't know. But
I love that.
But so and breaking this down into what can I do? So kind of adapting strategies and responding strategies. And some of the things I'm going to talk about are literally, you know, nuts and bolts things you can do on a daily basis, whether it's having to do with your changes in your lifestyle, your diet, your body, what have you. And other things are going to be more about what you can do mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, changing your perspective. How do I wrap my head around this mm-hmm. stuff? Mm-hmm. So just starting with adapting strategies, some of the stuff is really you think it's simple, but you didn't look at it as an adapting strategy when you were doing it before. I'll say, first thing foremost, breathe.
Mm-hmm. Something simple that we don't even have to think about.
Because we know, and I don't, this is sort of like the mantra, if you will, of yoga and a lot of other things, is taking control of the breath, leveraging the breath as a stress management tool. Because mm-hmm. it when you breathe fully and correctly, it does lower your stress level. It stimulates the relaxation response.
Now, in yoga, I haven't taken any yoga classes for a long time, so I don't remember this. But I know that when I was working with kids, I would explain to them that, because most of them, if you say take a deep breath,
yep.
they raise their shoulders
sure.
instead of belly breathing. So I've always laid them down on the floor and yep. put like a dictionary or something heavy on their bellies
yep.
and tell them you have to raise that book up
yep.
in order to be doing deep breathing. But I just recently read the importance of breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth because you get rid of nitric oxide. So is that part of yoga breathing?
Well, okay, there's to get down to the mechanics of it, definitely optimum breathing is in through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Because just mechanically, the nose, it has filters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the hairs and various structures in there that filter garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
It has this circuitous path for the breath coming in, so it warms and moistens the incoming air
mm-hmm.
before it goes to the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an optimum breath coming in. It's cleaner, it's warmer, it's moister, it's healthy for the lungs. Now, exhaling, there are different times to exhale through the mouth and different times to exhale through the nose.
Okay.
Exhaling through the mouth, you tend to get this big, think about opening your garage door. I look at the mouth as the garage door.
Okay.
Because if you open the garage door, breathing through the mouth, it's just letting all that, whatever's coming in is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And breathing through the mouth is not optimum to the lungs,
right.
to your health. But breathing out, you're going to get this big whoosh of exhale.
Right.
as opposed to a sustained exhalation,
which comes through the nose, right?
Which helps empty the lungs of carbon dioxide a little more effectively than breathing out through the mouth.
Okay.
Now, that's one technique.
It's a stress reducer.
It's very much a stress reducer because the key to stimulating the relaxation response with the breath is the elimination, to as best you can, of carbon dioxide, because it's the buildup of carbon dioxide in the bloodstream, hence in the cerebral spinal fluid, that causes the panic of stress.
Sure. The cortisol is going someplace,
yep.
And it usually goes there.
Right. So, I have allergies, okay? And there's times I wake up in the morning, I can't breathe through my nose. Does that mean I can't do this? No, of course not. Breathe through the mouth. You're going to breathe anyway. Just pay attention to it. So optimally, you're breathing in through the nose. If it works to breathe out through the nose, great. If that doesn't work, breathe out through the mouth. Now, there's not for the subject today so much, but there are specific yoga breath techniques that will use an exhalation through the mouth. For instance, there's a cooling breath that you take in through the mouth and out through the nose. Okay, because you bring cool air in and exhaling warm air. But, and once again, that's a subject for another
show, yeah.
But speaking of the breath, okay, so you up for doing a little breath?
Absolutely.
Okay, so as I was teaching the other day, I'm always looking for imaginative ways to get people recruited to practice this breathing. And I got to thinking of the word doldrums. And I suspect our audience understands that word doldrums. Now, have you ever been in the doldrums?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I go to class and I say, how many of you understand that? They all do. And they say, how many of you are in the doldrums now? Almost everybody raises their hand. Many people don't know where that word comes from. There's a place, a specific geographical place in the Atlantic Ocean near the equator between Europe and the Americas, that back in the day of the sailing ships, when the ships were coming from Europe to the Americas, they would follow the currents and they would get into this place called the doldrums. And it was a space in a geographic location where the wind died. And there, being sailing ships, they were dead in the water. And I asked my son, maybe folks at home, you're feeling dead in the water. You're caught in the doldrums. There's no wind in your sails. Mm-hmm. And they could wait days or weeks waiting for the wind to pick up to get them across, depending on the time of year.
That's really interesting.
So in this diaphragmatic breath that we're talking about, this yoga breath we're talking about, by the way, that yoga breath is, we call it diaphragmatic, but really, I like to say it's the baby breath or the natal breath. It's the one you're born with. We're just trying to get back to the garden of breathing. We were born doing it right. Maybe you folks can follow along with this. I'm going to coach Lucy through this breath, this visualization with that breath. Imagine your spine is the mast of a tall ship, sailing ship. If you guys can remember those tall sailing ships, they had three sails. The bottom sail was the biggest on each mast. The second sail was a little bit smaller, and the top sail was the smallest. So you imagine that your abdominal area, your belly, is the large sail at the bottom. Your rib cage is the middle sail. And your chest is the topsail. So as we visualize breathing, you're going to feel the bottom sail, the middle sail, and then the topsail, and that drives you forward. So the breath, you're filling your sails and moving forward. So let's try it real quick. I'll take everybody through that. We just tall spine, eyes gently closed. Being comfortable. The only requirement here physically is that you try to have a lengthened spine. Settling the body a little bit, settling the mind a little bit. Bring your focus, your attention to the present moment. Now, the best way to bring your attention to the moment is just to notice your breath. Don't change it, don't judge it. Just feel the breath come in and feel the breath go out. The breath's always in the moment. Is that breath deep? Is it shallow? Is it smooth? Is it erratic? Now we're going to start to build this natal breath, a diaphragmatic breath, baby breath. Remembering our visualization of the sails, your spine is the mast, straight and erect. The belly area is your bottom sail. It's the biggest one. Your rib cage area is your middle sail, and the smaller sail is the chest. So with the spine lengthened, relax the belly. Let the shoulders relax down. Relax the jaw. And actually, even if it seems a little contrived or phony, let a smile come to your face. It does tend to create relaxation. We're going to try to breathe through in and out of the nose. If that doesn't work, breathe through the mouth. On one of your next inhalations, as you draw the breath in, actively expand the belly, filling the bottom sail. And full exhalation. The breath comes in, the bottom sail fills. Full of air. And full exhale. And each time that sail fills, you're moving forward. Your ship is moving forward a little bit. You have forward momentum. On one of your next inhalations, the breath comes in, the belly expands, and then the ribs expand to the sides and even into the back, filling the middle sail, moving forward even a little quicker, and full exhalation. Breath comes in, the belly expands, the ribs expand, the two bottom sails are filling, moving the ship forward, and full exhale. Full exhalation is important. And lastly, breath comes in, the belly expands, the ribs expand, the two sails fill, and the chest expands, filling the lungs up to the collarbones and filling your top sail. All three sails are full, moving the ship smoothly forward, and full exhalation. Breath comes in, the ship moves forward. Full exhalation. Sailing you out of the doldrums a little bit. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. All right, so just a little visualization to, we've had fun with that. Gotten some good feedback with that. How'd that work for you?
You know, I could actually feel, it was like a thrust, if you will,
yeah.
Forward. So you could kind of feel like you were just there and then move forward a little bit. So
awesome.
It was a very interesting exercise.
All right, good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So the breath, we took a little time to talk about the breath because honestly speaking, the breath is the foundational strategy. Before you do anything else to create balance or to move forward, to do anything positive, taking control of the breath is critical. I think it's critical because
mm-hmm.
it helps put us in a place of clarity, mental clarity, and relax. We call it relaxed and alert, which is a much more potent, much more balanced place to do something effective.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you ever noticed, because I'm sure I'm not the only one, but if I'm stressed about something, that I will just automatically take a deep breath and then just kind of like, I don't know, blow out.
Yep.
Through my mouth, but it's a almost like an automatic response to
we know
stress.
We know what we and if you're sighing
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis, that's mm-hmm. an indicator you're holding your breath.
Right.
And so there's a lot of science behind that. It's a on purpose mechanism in your body to hold your breath under stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What it does is it amps up our alertness and our ability to react.
Mm-hmm.
But if you And then when you finally are not as stressed as much, you exhale. The first thing you do is exhale.
Right.
And that's getting rid of the carbon dioxide. So that's when, you know, you've heard, Waiting to Exhale is the name of a book, I believe.
I think it is. Okay, yes, so I never read it, but that is
Waiting to Exhale is just that. I'm holding my breath, stressed, waiting for something, and then, I can let it out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we do that if we're going to like the dentist or we're in a doctor's waiting room because we're not sure what they're going to tell us. That is very stressful, and you can watch people doing it.
Absolutely. So that's a mechanical adapting tool. Just mm-hmm. come back to the breath. We have a mechanism. That's one thing you can do. You can mm-hmm. take control of that. I mean, now, ironically and unfortunately, one of the things that the COVID-19 affects is our ability to breathe. That's the big thing, and I think that's, I guess it just kind of, if you're not affected yet, personally affected physically with the relish the breath Mm-hmm. Let the breath nourish you, because we have to, oh my gosh, there's people who can't breathe right now right. as effectively.
Right.
Another thing that this is kind of a no-brainer, but I think it's very important to say, is taking control of your diet, taking control of making sure, and I know it's difficult because I'm teaching yoga now virtually. I used to, of course, teach in the studio once upon a time, and now I'm teaching it virtually, and people are having to jump through hoops to keep their practices up. Whether it's yoga or your fitness program or whatever you're doing, Tai Chi, dance, whatever you're doing, do the best you can to keep up your physical fitness, keep up your diet, and other things that, of course, near and dear to me, meditation, yoga, prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, folks are getting all, a lot of folks are getting upset because they can't go to church and worship with other people. I accept that. I mean, I can understand that. But this is not a talk today about prayer, but prayer is, prayer and meditation go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your belief system is, meditation, prayer is talking to whatever you consider to be the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is listening. A good conversation requires both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can integrate prayer with meditation because I realize they're two sides of the same coin. It's a communication, it's a communion. So don't lose track of your practices, whatever they are that have been working for you.
Well, one of the things that I've been doing for months now since we entered this whole COVID-19 stay safe mentality
mm-hmm.
is going to a local, it's referred to as a beach. It's more of a park,
mm-hmm.
but it's water view, and spending time there. And I think if you commune with nature, whether it's the water, trees, plants, but, the longevity of having nature around us, it doesn't go away, especially here in Florida. It's not like it dies in the wintertime.
Yep.
And that is reassuring to a lot of people. And I've noticed, this is not a highly visited park. I don't think a lot of people even know exist except for the local residents. But, if you want to meditate, if you want to concentrate on your breathing, being out there with the waves and being out there with birds and plants and trees allows you to do that.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, it's one of my adapting strategies is spend as much time in nature. And kind of along the lines of what you just said, and we didn't talk about this ahead of time, I've been doing this for a couple months now. I begin and end my day in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fortunate to live just a couple minutes away, drive from a park that's really nice. It's got great trees. It's got a great walking path. And because of the virus, it's almost completely vacant. I get up and I get up with the sun. I walk about 5 miles in the morning on this trail as the sun rises.
Oh, how pretty.
Yeah. And then in the evening, as best I can, sometimes life gets in the way. My wife and I will go to the beach for the sunset.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to end the day.
So we bring the sun up, we take the sun down, and bookending the day with connection with nature. Mm-hmm. It is really very grounding, and everything you had to say is, yes, it is a constant. Even though the environment changes, weather changes, we can learn a lot about adapting, slowing down and paying attention if we immerse ourselves in nature. And for most of us, in some, even if it means, if you live in an apartment, can you go outside somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Get your feet on the ground. Can you sit on a balcony in the morning, have your coffee instead of sitting in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
These little things are really important.
Right.
And stay off your phone. That's not the time to read a book. This is my opinion. Okay, if you're outside, you're outside. But pay attention to what's out there.
Just listen.
And listen
to the birds and listen to the wind come through the trees. And
because there's a pace with nature that is in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that are worrying us and all the things that, and very rightfully so, we have an ability to reset our gauges, I think, when we allow ourselves to connect with nature and just give that space.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take a specific meditation technique or anything like that. Like you just said, listen, just be quiet.
I love to listen to the waves come in because they all come in at different rates. And watching a sunset, I'm so glad that you and your wife do that together, because watching a sunset to me is a time-honored sort of tradition that people have done for centuries and centuries, thousands of years. And I notice that everybody around me, when I'm watching a sunset, they'll all make the comment of no two are ever the same,
right.
And they aren't. And so you begin to appreciate the diversity, which is something that we're beginning to understand, you know, between races, is that we don't all have to be the same, eating the same foods, looking right. exactly alike. The diversity is what makes us unique.
And learning to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
To just be in, and I think the word that resonates for me personally that really puts me in a perspective I find beneficial is witness, is witnessing that sunrise and that sunset.
Right.
It's you're observing, you're a witness, but you're also a participant. Always looking for opportunities to participate in nature, which means it doesn't mean you have to be camping or building a fire or chopping a tree down. Hopefully not chopping a tree down. But participating emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually.
One of the things that I'll share with you that just happened, my mother's birthday was on June 26th, and so I had ordered some special seeds from an Etsy business and then started them in a pot here and then took it out to this park on her birthday and planted it. And I've gone every day since to water it and take pictures of it. And all of a sudden, it is just springing forth with life. It is just absolutely miraculous to watch how fast, you know, it's growing. And I will know, you know, years from now that it's that particular plant because the blooms on it are bigger than any of the other plants, you know, that are going to be around it. So I think that's kind of fun, is using the word witness.
Yeah.
But to witness something that you've done with nature, nurture it, and then watch what happens.
It's so therapeutic, but it also, you're connecting with an intelligence mm-hmm. that we're part of.
Right, right. That plant didn't ask me for instructions.
No, and it didn't really, you know, the plant is doing its own thing. And I think that's a great idea. That's a great doing thing to do, is, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting, nurturing something to grow.
Yeah, and especially right now, because there's so little that we do feel we have any control over.
Yep.
And by doing something like that, you know, it's not that you're controlling the plant, but you're witnessing again growth.
And you're participating in nature.
Yeah.
You're a facilitator. You're a
facilitator.
The growth part. Yes, and the growth part.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so fun.
So there's some real, I think those are some real hands-on things. Another thing that I find, and this was a workshop I did a while back, because, and this became very, I think, very pertinent, and hopefully we don't come back into an isolation mm-hmm. place, a quarantine, but that's happening in a variety of places under different circumstances. And the idea of creating sacred space mm-hmm. and meaningful ritual in your life. Now, this is a whole can of worms that we can talk about. You know, it's its own entity. But if you're stuck in your home for periods of time, and you know that everything becomes then, it's just being used for something. So I've got the kitchen, I've got the living room, and you may have multiple people, and I can't find any space to be alone. So identifying a space in your home, on your property, if you have a yard, in your yard, on the patio, I don't care where it is, it could be a corner in a room that's normally used 23 hours of the day for something else. Can you carve out a time when a certain space can become what we call sacred space?
Mm-hmm.
It's a time that you will designate, a time and space, sacred time, sacred space to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where you meditate. Maybe that's where you just take time to breathe. Maybe that's time where you have some sort of physical practice. Maybe it's a time to pray, a place to pray.
You know, some people are using their bathrooms and they're setting up their sacred space as a bath. So you light a candle, you have maybe flower petals in the bathtub,
yep.
You maybe put certain bathing salts in there, but that has become, for a few people I know, their meditation place.
It's a great place to,
yeah.
That's a great place to do it, which dovetails right into the idea of meaningful ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I say meaningful ritual, I say that because I think of this time and space in history, there's so many of us in our culture that have gotten tired of or discarded rituals that have become worn out that we grew up with, whether it's from a religion or a family thing or whatever. And we're needing something. Ritual is so important. We are ritualistic creatures. Humans, if you really understand it, you understand it is vital as food, water, and air.
Well, and for some people, it's Sundays, and for some, it's their birthdays, or Christmas, or Thanksgiving,
or
some
Easter. People, it's their bathtub.
Yes.
And the ritual is lighting the candle, mm-hmm. opening a sacred space, mm-hmm. and a ritual can be as simple as sitting on a chair, sitting on the floor, lying down in whatever the space you got it, or taking a bath, light a candle, or whatever it is you do, an on-purpose thing that opens and initiates the space. And whatever actions you take in there is part of the ritual. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but start putting that into your thinking. Well, you know what? I don't have a place to think. I don't have a place to do this. And you have to navigate this with the people in your life. If you're living with other people, inform them. You know, you may want to enjoin them to share your space or not.
Or not.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times this is a place for us to be alone.
Right.
And I've had a lot of my students now getting very creative with little nooks and crannies in their home or in their yard, what they're doing. It could be very simple. Mm-hmm. So kind of, and by the way, anything I mention in here, and if it stirs a thought or you want an interest or you want to talk about it more, please contact me. Reach out to me. I'm going to give you my email address. It's Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S, @ WarnerHealingGuidance.com. I would love to open a conversation. I can connect you with some any resources I have on hand, things I've done or things I'm aware of I can connect you with. Please reach out to me. I do this. I'm in contact with students and friends for years and years mm-hmm. on these things.
And obviously you have a lot more understanding of the resources available
sure.
than somebody listening. So yes, everybody please reach out to Doug and pick his brain a little bit because he's got lots of information.
So the other thing I want to say about adapting, we talked about some nuts and bolts things, you know, taking care of your body, taking care of your the breathing and what have your diet, you know, we've talked about that a little bit, is some of the the mindset adapting qualities that we might want to think about. I think the most important one, and this is the one I think that really trips us up in the beginning, is acceptance.
Acceptance of the situation.
Accepting of what is,
yeah.
not what you think it should be.
Right, because if you're railing against that, you do nothing but create additional stress, and that lowers your immune system.
And it makes you ineffective. And the other part of that, the second part of acceptance, is stop blaming people. Mm-hmm. Stop pointing the finger. And I know that first you're going to say, wait a minute, I know these people are guilty of blah, 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 blah. Okay.
You can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about that. Acceptance of what is, because if you're not going to be able to move forward and adapt, mm-hmm. if you're wishing it was the old way. Right. I wish it was, it used to be this way. It used to, oh gosh, what, you know.
Remember when
we could go do this and this. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, that's not what it is.
Right.
If you accept in your mind, adapting is going to be much easier.
And that is what makes for a resilient personality.
Absolutely.
Is that you can look at it and go, I wish, but it's not happening, so what do I do with what I've got?
Yep. And kind of going in hand with that, and I think a lot of you that you know listening have had to do this, and I can give my own little life example, is learning, I call it flexibility. Mm-hmm. It's learning to pivot. You know, when I was in the Army, I was made aware of a general, whoever it was, and he retreated from a battle, the battlefield, and he was called out for retreating. And he said, I wasn't retreating. I was advancing in another direction.
I love it.
And so think about that. So yes. How many times on our path to wherever we say we want to go, what am I trying to do? Uh-huh. And something like what we're experiencing now gets in our way. And we have to maybe pivot, if you understand, just doing a 180. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're in retrograde motion. It looks like we're retreating. But not necessarily.
We're finding a new way.
A new way to go to the same direction you're
exactly.
thinking about. And this is you mentioned I was a labyrinth facilitator. If anyone has a visualization, familiar with the labyrinth, you have a center. It's a continuous path. It looks like a puzzle, but it's not. It's one continuous path to the center. And a lot of times in that labyrinth, you're turning around and moving away, and it can give you the impression you're moving in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're clear on where you're going, and what you're trying to do,
exactly.
Then you find, so this is going to bring it to the big tamale concept I want to throw out here in a moment, but learning to pivot. So I teach yoga and meditation, and like I said, I did it in the studio and I did it a certain way, and all of a sudden we can't do that anymore. Studio has to close. How am I going to do this? So within a week's time, my fellow teachers and I, we adapted, and now we're doing our classes virtually. The mission was to teach the subject. The how, we just had to change. If I got so caught up in the how, and so I can't do it the way I used to do it, I can't do it then, I'm done. Then you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. Learning to pivot, that's part of adaptation. How can I, but you have to have clarity on what you're trying to do.
Right.
So that kind of brings me into what I would say, well, anyway, I want to share one thing we talked about in the beginning. Some of you may be familiar with St. Francis's the Serenity Prayer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was kind of joking around in my head with this idea of being a prepper. And I'm not a classic prepper, if you understand what those people are preparing for the apocalypse or some infrastructure breakdown. But a spiritual prepper. This is sort of a spiritual prepper, is a prayer, if you will, okay? And this kind of encompasses all the points I was trying to make in this whole thing. So whatever your belief system, it's the prayer starts as God, universe, the Tao, Great Spirit, Mother Goddess, whatever, fill in the blank, please grant me the following. Patience to accept things as they truly are, not how I feel they should be. Resiliency to adapt and respond to life's challenges. Courage to face the unknown with an open heart and a prepared mind. Gratitude for the obstacles and resistance, which I know strengthen my spiritual muscles. Compassion to help others detach from a sense of self-accomplishment or personal gain. Humility to accept help when I need it. That's a big one for me. Clarity to make the needed changes in myself first, and motivation to strive for positive change in the world, not out of anger, but from a desire to protect and nourish what I value and love. So that actually is going to hit all the points there that I wanted to make in this. But so let's kind of look at a couple of those. The idea of in responding, we talked about adapting strategies. Oh, by the way, that prayer, if you're interested in that, if you email me at douglas@warnerhealingguides.com, I'll email you a copy of that. It's not great literature, but it might remind you of some of those
of the things, the important parts.
Right, the highlights of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Responding strategies. The whole idea here is to respond, not react. Respond is a key word. Respond, what it does is it says, it tells you you're moving from a place of clarity. You're not being reactive. It's not a reactive response. Reactive tends to be coming out of attachment, fear, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Responding is a much more clear action, place of action. One of the things that I think, and I mentioned it in that prayer, is responding. One of the first things, and all you have to do is go to the media, whether it's online or the newspaper, the radio, whatever. Anger. How much anger?
Tremendous.
Tremendous amount of anger. Mm-hmm. Now.
And fear.
Anger and fear, and they come from the same place. They come from the same source. Mm-hmm. Anger in the beginning, and now we're talking about responding strategies. How am I going to respond? What is going to drive the train for me to take action? Mm-hmm. Anger in the beginning is a really powerful motivator. But it leads to burnout. It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it tends to have us focus on individuals and their faults. Somebody did something, and we lose sight of our true motivation. Mm-hmm. We start to get wrapped up in our anger and being hurt.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second, because I want to point out something that I've seen going on, especially as we've entered this political year, okay, mm-hmm. is the finger pointing. In the ads that Biden is using right now, instead of a unifying force of this is where we can be and looking at what we want, both sides are pointing fingers, at one another as to I won't do this and I won't do that. And so, you know, there's I think when people are trying to figure out how to cope with where we are, as we look at COVID-19, as we look at the racial riots, as we look at a lot of economic things right now, it's like, what can I do as a person in my own life to make a difference? And those that are plugging in to Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whatever it might be, if you're focusing in on what the pundits are saying and adopting that as your mindset, that doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody. And remember that that's all inflammatory and inflames anger. And instead of, you know, I always said that there's two kinds of people, or people can take two different positions, whether it denotes who you are as a person. I can either bring my, if I'm meeting something in life, I can either put everyone else down around me so I look like I'm elevated, or I can elevate myself above the others. What am I going to put my energy to? Putting other people down so I look taller, or elevating myself so I really am taller? So instead of anger being your motivator, now in the beginning, people are going to be angry, and I'm not saying that that's normal, but don't let that be the driving force, because it has a dead end and it's going to take you down a rabbit trail of effort. Instead, for potent action, for responding appropriately, responding out of a desire, first identifying and then what it is, and a desire to protect and nurture what you love. What is it that I want to protect, and what do I love, what do I want to nurture, and how can I do it? That's coming from a positive platform instead of an anger platform.
Right.
Because if you calm the anger, you bring responsive, not reactive. Anger leads to reactiveness.
Haven't you noticed yourself, because I certainly have, that when I'm around somebody who is filled with anger and resentment and fear and everything else, the way I personally respond is I just get quiet. Is I don't engage because there's no point. And I think of ways that I can either distract and move into something that is more productive, or I just let them do whatever they're going to do for as long as they need to do it. But I get quiet.
Anger is toxic. It produces toxins in the body. It puts you in a constant stress mode.
It does.
And it
fight or flight is right there.
You're right there. And so, and kind of going hand in hand with this, in this responding appropriately, is I say meeting force with flow. When something's coming at you, you have a choice. You can meet it with force. When force meets force, everybody walks away bruised.
Exactly.
Okay? But if you meet force with flow, and I think of here in Florida, we have palm trees and we have oak trees. The oak tree is rigid. And during our hurricanes and during our, you know, our weather we get here, oak trees get uprooted. They get snapped. Palm trees rarely, because the palm tree can bend. I know this is a classic cliche metaphor, but it still works. They're meeting force with flow. That flow is learning to bend. Okay. And there, if you stand rigid, and I'm gonna meet you head on, guess what? You lose. There's always going to be a stronger wind.
Right. Exactly.
There's always going to be a stronger wind. And so the other thing I wanted to say in the adapting and responding, we talked about spending time in nature and what have you, is really focusing on prioritizing relationships. It's a really tough time to do that, because we, again, this is, how do I adapt? I can't go see my mom or my aunt or my grandmother in the nursing home, or we can't get together as a family like we used to. But relationships and connections are so vital, connecting to nature but also connecting to other people, and this is a big challenge.
And Zoom can help there.
Zoom is help. I'm going to tell you, I do a lot on Zoom and any of these other platforms, but Zoom works for me. You get a face. In fact, my son and I, he lives in California, and we got a close relationship. We did not a lot of phone calls. But we finally said, let's just do a Zoom thing. And it was so much better. I mean, it wasn't the same as being there. Because yes, he was supposed to visit this summer and we can't.
Yeah.
So really finding different ways to connect. Mm-hmm. Finding different ways to, I'll give you another example, to reach out to others. I have one of my students, it was very retired and very social activist. And very bummed out because this is a very educated woman, smart person, and she can't go to the rallies, she can't go to the gatherings and meetings and everything. But what she found she could do is she started a letter writing campaign. I mean, something as simple as she pivoted.
Okay.
She had the luxury of connecting in a certain way, mm-hmm. and trying to get something done. But now she just had to pivot 180 degrees, and she reached another way to reach out to the people she's trying to reach out to. Mm-hmm. There's always a way, but don't neglect those relationships and connections mm-hmm. to each other, to yourself, to each other, to nature, and to something larger than yourself. I think that's going to help nourish us. One of the things I also I just want to say, this is about taking control. One of the greatest catalysts, I think, for fear and anxiety right now is feeling out of control. Mm-hmm. It produces fear, anger, it does all sorts of things. And I tell folks, I said, so what is it you don't feel like you're in control of? Well, I'm not in control of the future. Newsflash, you never were.
Never were.
You never were. It's just now you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. Okay? You never really were. I'm not saying don't have savings accounts and insurance policies and what have you. We dance with that. That would be irresponsible not to put some things in place, those what ifs. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the only thing we control is our own actions. How many people are not even taking control of that?
Right. They're just sitting and
reacting, or just letting themselves bounce around like a pinball.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons that the accident rate itself, even though we have fewer people on the roads, they are saying, you know, insurance companies are saying, although they could just be saying it to raise rates, but they're saying that there are actually more accidents, and certainly I've seen more aggression out on the road recently, and maybe it's because, you know, we are so not in control of our lives that it's coming out behind the wheel.
And then really sitting down and asking yourself, what can I take control of? Mm-hmm. If you really examine that and you spent your time and effort leveraging your energy to what you truly can control, mm-hmm. it's a full-time job. First of all, can you control your own thoughts? Can you control your own reactions, responses? How are you supposed to change the mind of someone else if you can't change your own?
Exactly.
How am I supposed to change the actions of another person or other persons if I am not actually in control of my own actions? We want to outsource that. You know, everybody else should change, but I don't have to. That's part of that spiritual prayer is like, let me take care of, control myself first. Let me get my ducks in a row first before I start trying to get everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you're going to be doing a three-week, I guess, yoga
class? Well,
I'm
going to be doing a workshop. It's going to be, a three-part at this point. I'm still kind of compiling, scheduling it. A three-part workshop. Mm-hmm. It's an in-depth, really nuts and bolts, in-depth study. It's a stress anxiety clinic. I call it a stress clinic.
So people that are having difficulty...
Right.
This would be perfect for them.
This would be perfect. We're going to be covering some of these ideas and much, much more. We're going to be doing a lot more practice-oriented things. It's going to be a virtual clinic, which means it'll be a Zoom session. That way it'll be open to worldwide, but also you don't have to worry about social distancing or what have you.
Right. Safety of your own home.
The safety of your own home and the comfort of your own home. That, for most people, that's a good thing. At least the first session is going to be in August, probably, and then it'll unfold after that. If you want more information on that stress clinic, again, go back to my email address, douglas@warnerhealingguidance.com. Email me, say, hey, I'm interested. Could you keep me in the loop? And I'll make sure that you'll get an email back as soon as I get it scheduled, and I'll point you in the right direction how to sign up for that. So one of the things, too, in responding and adapting is, in order for us to pivot accordingly, we have to know where we're going.
Yes, a map of some sort.
Right. We have to have a map of some sort. So I say it's you know, there's the what and the how. What are you trying to do? Because we get so frustrated when our delivery, the way we were doing things, gets blocked. Well, what was I trying to do to start with? So I'll go back to my, what was I trying to do with my practice? Trying to teach meditation and yoga. Okay, I got blocked. So my how got changed. So
The traditional path got changed.
I can lament that, but I'm going to pivot. I'm going to adapt. I didn't change the what, but I changed the how. And other people are doing the same thing. I'm trying to make a living. Okay, you're making, now, the way you were doing it got blocked. Now you can get really upset about that, and you probably should, but if you want to move forward, how else can I do this?
You know, one of the things that I see with that almost instantly is, now granted, the wait staff, you know, they're suffering, but a lot of restaurants have moved over to carry out and to providing their meals even in grocery stores.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so they hadn't thought about that before because they had a brick and mortar restaurant.
Yep.
And now they may be thinking, okay, what I really need is a great kitchen, but I don't need all this other space. And so maybe I can still be a restaurant, but under a different umbrella of sorts.
Yep. A lot of people are doing that. It's great examples. Some of the folks are now realizing, as I'm realizing, this opened avenues for me to be more successful financially than doing it the old way.
Right.
I have a friend of mine who's a very successful businessman. He has a company. He's multi-million dollar business. And let's just say he makes widgets. That's what his company does. And one of his staff got a call one day, and for whatever reason, the customer on the phone wanted like 500,000 ballpoint pens. And the guy said, oh, I'm sorry, we're a widget company. We don't do that. And so my friend, the boss, sat him down and said, why did you tell him no? He said, well, that's not what we do. We're a widget company. And my friend said, no, we're a money-making company. He said, if with a couple of phone calls, you could have gotten that guy hooked up with 500,000 ballpoint pens and made money off of that. Why would you not have done that?
Right.
It's just a flipping of your thinking and going, oh, that's really the what. How we do it is by making widgets.
Exactly.
But if there was another way that came in a plate, you know, onto my plate, why not take it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And it's learning to think outside that box.
Absolutely.
And most people want to focus inside it because it's safer.
It's safer and it's what they know, and they have that growth is always hard. Those get those growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
So establishing the what of your life, you know, what is it I'm really trying to do? And then just finding different avenues
to get there.
To get there,
right.
Well,
and that might be the new normal that some of the people are going to be looking at is they do growth. It promotes fear because it's something that they don't know. If I'm having to grow in this direction, do I have enough training? Do I have this, that, and the other thing?
Yep.
But in reality, we can always get it.
And that's a great point. It's a great point. Reinventing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, if you want to take control. A lot of times, and this whole idea of fear is something we need to address here quickly too, is I don't feel prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel I'm trained enough. I'm not whatever enough to do this. So in this time of, I call this time, many of us are in a place of creative incubation.
Oh, that's a great term.
Yeah, it's creative.
Like
it's like we're locked in. We're stymied in so many directions. Okay, use it. How can I leverage this time for personal growth?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe learning to do something new. Maybe it's just reframing and just realizing, oh, I can do this, this, and this.
And a young person naturally goes that way. And I think that when we hit maybe 45 or so, we get locked into the way we've always done things.
It's a rut in the road.
Right. And so somebody mentioned to me the other day that my type of thinking is forever young.
Mm.
And I do believe that. I think if you can come up with a construct, for lack of a better term here, that just says, I'm open to all possibilities.
Yep.
And use that as your mantra. Whatever possibilities exist that might get you where you want to go.
But you got to know where you want
to
go.
But you have to have somewhat.
You don't have to be 100%.
Right. Because there's a lot of forks in the road, and sometimes the path that maybe is the least resistant is not the best path.
Sure.
And the one that has a few obstacles that's going to make you stronger and more resilient is the path you should go down.
And I'm going to tell you, I resisted doing my yoga classes virtually at first. I was like, okay, this thing is going to pass. This is going to be a lot of effort for no good return. Mm-hmm. And it didn't pass. I dove into it, and it now has opened doors that I didn't really anticipate.
Well, yeah.
And so you know, I think it's great. The other thing about fear, have you ever seen, I want to talk about fear for a second. You ever seen the little sticker? A lot of people, and it's usually on a pickup truck for some reason, or some macho vehicle, uh-huh. And it says, no fear.
Mm-hmm, I've seen them.
N-O fear, right?
Right.
Okay. And I always said, you know, be very careful about driving too close to that person. I think that's a lot of BS. I said, no fear. I say...
Macho.
It is, but it's also not even real. I say, no fear. K-N-O-W.
Ah, that's much better.
So yeah. Think about no fear, put a line through it, and put K-N-O-W, no fear. Get really up close and personal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is going to be the ticket. Because it's not the... Courage is not the absence of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's navigating it. Right. I don't even want to say it's the conquest of fear.
Well, you know, the people that have a cancer diagnosis, as a prime example here, I mean, the fear of cancer is huge.
Oh, sure it is.
But those that have come through it, if you talk to them, which I do, then those individuals have faced their fears, come through it a stronger, more resilient, again, person. But they have a much deeper core understanding of who they are and what life is all about. And so sometimes facing the fear that we have, you know, the most, whatever that might be, helps us become more of who we're meant to be.
Some people call working with your fear and that the shadow work. Mm-hmm. If you've heard this, is working with the dark side. Working with the dark side. And what are we afraid of? You know, most fear is fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying everything. I can't say blanket. But if you really boil it down, fear is... it's a form of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
What am I afraid of? What am I holding on to so tightly that I'm afraid of? And of course, the last letting go, the last detachment, of course, is your life, your body life.
Or somebody else.
Or someone else's, yeah. But in this idea of really confronting the core of your fear, and it can start to, it doesn't eliminate the fear, but it puts it in perspective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that if you look at, when I was younger, I spent a bit of time with martial arts. And, you know, got this whole thing where you've seen people breaking boards with their hands and stuff. Okay. And you got to really understand a couple of things about what that was about. And the physics of punching a board or something with your hand, the physics allow it. Okay. It's not magic. It's not, you know, all this energy flowing necessarily. The physics allows that hand to go through. Okay. But it's, number one, overcoming your fear of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And detaching from past thinking and future thinking. Last time I did this, it hurt my hand. Or what if this happens? If you just stay in the moment of doing it, detaching from past and future thinking, that's a place of courage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you usually break the board. And then it's a demonstration of that is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, and just in short, is getting behind, asking yourself in the sphere arena, what is it I can't let go of? What am I afraid of losing? That's a good stepping stone to navigating fear. I'm not going to say there's a shortcut that's going to eliminate your fear. But know it. Don't try to eliminate it. Really get, you know, clutch it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Look it in the eye and say, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that that's going to be a move forward.
Well, we've got a ton of things that we can explore the next time we're together. That
sure.
is for sure.
Sure.
So give them your email address again so that they can get hold of you for a lot of different things.
Okay. Yeah, it's Douglas@WarnerHealingGuidance.com. I also have a YouTube channel. It's www.youtube.com/Douglas Warner, my name. I've got about 50 videos on there. Have to do with meditation and life, you know, managing life skills, things like that. Not a lot of yoga per se, some nuts and bolts stuff. So if you have some interest in that, nothing else, email me and we'll open up a conversation and I'll get you connected with whatever I can do to help.
All right. Well, thank you again my guest. It's such fun having you here. And all of this information will be archived. Doug's show will be the top show when you go to synergyconnectionradio.com and go to show notes. Like I said, Doug's show will be the very first one. There's 10 pages of shows now, and the 100th show is actually coming up in October, which is very difficult to believe. if there's somebody that should have listened today, direct them to that website, synergyconnectionradio.com. Otherwise, go out there and make it your very best life. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.